I want you to open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Judges. I'm going to call this message, A Woman's Faith. A Woman's Faith. Judges 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. The chief sin of this people, Israel, national Israel, the chief sin was idolatry. Surprising and shocking what revelations they had. They had the tabernacle. They had the prophets. They had the sacrifices. They had the priesthood. They had the oracles of God, presence of God. And yet continually they departed from the true worship of God, ran after strange gods. This nation has been blessed above all nations. How God has blessed us with so much light, the light of the gospel, and yet forever running after strange gods. Well, God dealt with Israel in judgment. Listen, verse 1, He delivered them into the hand of the Philistines, their enemies, for 40 years. And then in verse 2, it says, And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. She was out in the field or somewhere. Her husband was not with her. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, bearest not, never had a child, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. You're going to have a child. Back then, Israel had no king. Israel was ruled over by the prophets of God at first, and then God raised up judges. And here he's going to raise up and give to Israel a judge, the strongest man who ever lived, a powerful man who would deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. His name is Samson. And the angel of the Lord appears to Manoah's wife, and that's his message. You'll have a son. Miraculously, God's going to give you a son. And this will be no ordinary son. It'll be a special son. Verse 4. Now therefore, I pray thee, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, eat not any unclean thing. Now this is not out of the question. This is no difficult orders that he places upon her. Just don't drink wine. Don't drink strong drink. Don't eat anything unclean during your pregnancy. You see, this special son, this judge of Israel, this man of God, is going to be from the womb a Nazarite. Now listen. For lo, verse 5, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head. For that child shall be a Nazarite unto God. Special servant of God, separated to God, an instrument in the hand of God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. It's a powerful message he's bringing to this woman. Now, what is a Nazarite? Well, let's go back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 6. and read just a little bit. The whole sixth chapter of Numbers has to do with this Nazarite vow. Numbers chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman, it could be either one, a man or a woman, shall separate themselves to bow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. In other words, a Nazarite was a man or woman who, under Hebrew law, had separated himself or herself and bound themselves to the service of God. Not from the womb. But Samson was from the womb. God set him apart as a special servant, bound and separated unto the Lord from the womb to his death. But this Nazarite vow, the period of the vow varied. Wasn't necessarily a lifetime. Could be. It could cover a lifetime. It could cover a certain period of time. And when that period was concluded, certain offerings were made. Their hair was cut and burned in a separate ceremony. And that person was discharged from that vow, that Nazarite vow. If you want to read later, I'm not dealing with this tonight. Acts 21, Paul assisted four men in being delivered from that vow. They had learned the gospel and come to know Christ. And in Christ, every believer is separated to God, bound to God, dedicated to God a lifetime. And Paul helped these four men to shave their heads and burn the hair and offer a sacrifice just like they were under this law to be delivered from this voluntary type of will worship if it's not truly of God. And there's no place for it in faith in Christ. But this is back under the law. Let's read a little more about it. Verse 3, And this person, man or woman, shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, nor vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat any moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that's made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. And all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separate himself to the Lord. And he shall be holy. He'll be special, dedicated servant of God. And shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separate himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. You go on, you can read the rest of that, but that's not what I want to deal with this evening. Back to our text. But this young man, he said to Manoah's wife, that your son will be special to the Lord. He's going to be a judge of Israel. He's going to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistine. And he'll have this vow upon him. That accounts for the cutting of Samson's hair and you've read that and so forth. But he had this vow. And so verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband. Now she didn't know that this was the angel of the Lord. She thought it was a man. She thought it was a special man, a prophet, a man of God, without question. For she tells us that here. She says, she told her husband, she said, a man of God came unto me. And his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. She'd never seen an angel. I don't know why she used that term. But I think I know why she used it. She used it to emphasize that his countenance, his appearance, his face was different from an ordinary man. It was terrible. She used the word terrible. And I believe she was saying it was awesome. It was awesome. It was powerful. His countenance spoke of heaven, heavenly things, spiritual things. She was mightily impressed by this man. She said, I don't know where he came from. I didn't ask him where he came from, and I didn't ask him his name. He never told me his name. I'll tell you why she never asked him where he came from and why she didn't inquire about his name. She was taken up with the good news. This dear woman, all the other women had children. She had no children. Back in these days, being barren was judgment. Was judgment of God. And like you remember Hannah, how she prayed to God, how disturbed she was. And this little lady was sitting out there in the field under this barren bondage and unfulfilled and unhappy. She'd never given her husband a son. And this man of God came and brought her, you're going to have a son. And she was so taken up with the good news, she never even thought about the messenger. She knew he was different. She knew he came from God. She was impressed with him. But she didn't know his name, didn't know where he came from. And I think that said something to me. The messenger, the true messenger of God, is so taken up with his message that God gave him the good news to deliver to people. Deliverance, set free from bondage, judgment, salvation. That he doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't even sometimes identify himself. He doesn't even care whether you know who he is. And the people who hear the good news of Christ and the gospel rejoice so much and are so happy to hear that news, they really aren't taken up with the messenger. I told you a story one time years ago. I'll repeat it. But there were two brothers, Ebenezer Erskine and Ralph Erskine, both great preachers who lived long, long time ago. And Ebenezer Erskine was on his way to preach in a meeting somewhere. And in those days, the travel was so slow that he intended to spend the night with a preacher brother, a pastor. And he came in the afternoon and told the pastor he was going to spend the night with him, then go on to his meeting the next day. And the pastor said, well, Brother Erskine said, we're having a meeting at the church tonight. We're meeting around the Lord's table. We're meeting to worship the Lord and partake of the Lord's table. When we come together to worship the Lord and partake of the table, would you have a word to say to us? Would you bring us a word from the Lord? He said, I'll be happy to. So that night, they went over to the church, and the people assembled and served the table. And then the pastor said, we're happy to have my friend, Brother Erskine, with us tonight, and he has a word for us. And he preached after the service. It was a tremendous blessing. God was there. The people worshiped. Like sometimes I feel like when we take the Lord's table, we're closer to real worship than any other time. And that's the way it was with them. And the message was so great. And somebody said to the pastor, said, have that man back again sometimes. That's as fine a message I've heard in my life. Have him back again. Pastor said, well, maybe as he comes back from his meeting, he'll stop here and we'll meet again. I'll ask him. So they arranged it. A few days later, he came through and they went over to the church and they met again. And Mr. Erskine preached. And after the service, the person that was so taken up with the message that the other time was a little disappointed. Told the pastor, said, I wasn't blessed like I was last week when he preached. I don't know what's wrong, but he said, last week I was so blessed, this week wasn't that great a blessing. And the wise pastor said, well, last week when you came to the service, why'd you come? He said, we came to worship the Lord. Fellowship around the table of the Lord. He said, well, why'd you come tonight? He said, I came to hear Brother Erskine. And the pastor said, well, you heard him. You heard God the other time. You heard Brother Erskine this time. There's a lesson that. And when this angel of the Lord told this dear woman, you're going to have a son, a special son from God. She was just, she didn't even know where he came from or who he was. She came and told her husband. And verse 7, she said, he said to me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, a servant of God, holy unto the Lord, from the womb to the day of his death. Boy, how special. So verse 8, Manoah was a man of faith, a man who believed God, and yet he had trouble. He's had his doubts, element of unbelief. He prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, let the man of God which you did send come again unto us and teach us what shall we shall do unto the child that shall be born. I want to hear him myself. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord, the angel of God, came again to the woman as she sat in the field. And again her husband was not with her. And she made haste, and she ran and showed her husband, said to him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. She still just sees him as a man, special man, but a man. And Manoah rose and ran after his wife and came to the man, there he stood, and said to him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. I know who this is. The woman didn't. And Manoah didn't. They will later. But I know who this is. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the word am is in italics. And he said, I am. He said, I. Are you the man that spake to the woman? I. But this is the same I am that spoke to Moses from the burning bush. This is the one who appeared to Abraham in Genesis 14. Turn over there and let's read this, Genesis chapter 14. This is a, I don't know whether it's the right way to say it, but it is a pre-incarnation appearance. I don't know. Our Lord appeared to some people in the Old Testament days, Christ himself. I think about every time you see that word, angel of the Lord, angel of Jehovah, it's Christ. And here in Genesis 14, verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. And of the kings, they were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of peace, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And Paul said in Hebrews, without mother or father, without pedigree, without beginning of days or end of days, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, that's Christ. And he met Abraham and blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And Melchizedek was seen no more. Melchizedek is Christ. You see, the priest of the Most High God. And one of the things here that will give you assurance that this is Christ is all these other prophecies, neither beginning of days or end of days, the King of Salem, King of... Who's the King of Peace? It's Christ. Who's the priest of the Most High God? The everlasting priesthood. Only Christ. But he met Abraham and blessed him and brought forth bread and wine. And back in these days, any time a priest representing a people to God brought a lamb, brought blood. Under the law, all things were purified by blood. But this is a priest without blood, without a sacrifice. Oh, wait a minute. He has a sacrifice. This is my body and my blood, the bread and the wine. That's who he is. And this, listen, let me show you another scripture, Genesis 32. This is the one, our Lord Jesus, who appeared to Jacob. Turn to Genesis 32. Genesis 32, verse 27. And he said to him, he wrestled with Jacob. You remember Genesis 32, 27? He said, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, prince of God, and with men hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, your name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Never told him his name. Every angel of God who ever appeared identified himself. Check it through the scripture. The angel that appeared to Joseph and announced the birth of Christ said, I'm Gabriel. Michael, the archangel. When the angel appeared and one of the disciples fell down before him, he said, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant just like you. They always identified themselves by name. But our Lord did identify himself down here in Judges 13. Turn back to the text. In a few moments, I'll show you he did. He did say something about his name that tells you who he is. But let's go on here. Let's go back here to Judges chapter 13, verse 12. And verse 12, Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat anything, any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. And now what's this? And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall make ready a kid for thee. I don't believe that Manoah is altogether referring to making a feast for the man to eat. He thought he was a man. He knew he was an unusual man and a man from God. But I do not believe that he was talking about fixing a meal. But he was talking about offering a sacrifice. Let me offer a sacrifice in honor of your visit. Let me offer a sacrifice in honor of this prophecy, of this good news, of the coming of the child. Let me offer a sacrifice. And he said down here in verse 17, he wanted to know his name. Manoah said to him, what is your name that when the sayings come to pass, we may do you honor? This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to honor this prophet. Let me stay with me a while. Let me get a lamb and let's sacrifice it. in honor of your coming, in honor of your appearance, in honor of the prophecy, in honor of the child, and that when this comes to pass, we may honor your name. All right, verse 16, go back. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. If you offer a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Offer it to the Lord. For Manoah knew not he was the angel of the Lord. Don't offer it in honor of a man. In honor of a prophecy, offer it to the Lord. If you offer a sacrifice, offer it to the Lord. Give God the glory. And this is when he said, Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, well, what is your name, that when the sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said to him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it's secret? The word is, what is it in your Bible? Wonderful. My name's Wonderful. What's that song you sang, John? Government shall be on his shoulders. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Listen. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and he slew the lamb, the goat, the kid, the bullock, on a rock, burned it, offered it as a burnt offering unto the Lord, shed its blood, and the angel did wondrously. Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar. This is on this rock. They fixed an altar, slew the lamb, like Abel did, like the Passover Moses sacrifice, shed its blood, burned its body. And as the flame ascended to heaven and the smoke, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Now, that's as clear as it can ever be made that this wasn't just an angel. It certainly wasn't a man. No angel of God would have tampered in any way with that offering, would have gotten in the fire and in the flame. But what the Lord is saying there is the sacrifice and the offering unto the Lord is Christ. Back here in these days, what did you need? What was required to come to God? What was required as a sacrifice, a sin offering? Well, you had to have an altar. An altar. And Paul said over here in Hebrews 13, let me just turn and read it. In Hebrews 13, Paul said, verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. It's good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. We have an altar. It's Christ. Christ is our altar. It's not down in front of the church. It's not in some religious place far off across the sea. Christ is our altar. All right, they had an altar. Secondly, got to have a priest. There's got to be a high priest. God ordained the priest to serve in things pertaining to God for the people. And we have a high priest. That's Christ. Got to be a lamb. Got to be a blood offering. Got to be death. Got to be a sacrifice. Burn. Christ is our lamb from before the foundation of the world. He's our lamb. Fourth, there's got to be a mercy seat on which the blood is sprinkled. Christ is our mercy seat. God has set him forth as a mercy seat. Fifthly, there's got to be an atonement. Got to be the blood sprinkled. Altar, priest, lamb, died, blood spilt, mercy seat, a covering over the broken law, and an atonement. And by Christ, we have the atonement. So when Manoah offered that sacrifice in that pagan land full of idolatry and under the bondage of the Philistines, a few worshiping God, he offered a sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to him, got in that sacrifice and ascended to heaven. And listen to Manoah. Verse 20, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew it was an angel of the Lord, God himself, because listen to what he said. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die. We have seen God." That's what the Lord told Moses over there in the Exodus 33. He said, you can quote it, "No man can see God and live." And old Manoah said, "We're going to die." He'd been in the presence of God, seen this miraculous thing, that the Lord in the sacrifice, in the offering, ascended to heaven. And he just turned to his wife and said, "We're going to die. We've seen the Lord." Well, this woman, bless her heart, I want you to see in the closing moments her faith. And this encourages us when we deal with our sinfulness, our wretchedness, and inability, and we come in to talk about sacrifice and forgiveness and deliverance and appearance of God and favor of God and mercy of God and gift of God and redemption. It's so awesome that we say, "Well, surely we're going to die. We just..." And she said, "No, we're not." And she gave him three reasons. Listen. First one, she said, now, verse 23, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he wouldn't have received a burnt offering." Manoah slew the lamb, shed his blood, burned the body upon the altar, and the Lord revealed he approved of it. He got in it. Manoah took that lamb and sacrificed it. It was Manoah's sacrifice. God had mercy on Abel and respect to Abel and his offering. Abel slew that lamb. God had respect. And Manoah, his wife, said, "You made a sacrifice, burn a lamb, shed his blood, and God approved of it." God approved of it. God accepted it when he ascended in your sacrifice. So I ask you tonight, if God were going to kill us and destroy us, would he have sent Christ? Who sent Christ? God did. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son into this world. Who nailed him to the tree? Pleased God to bruise him. Who raised him from the dead? God did. The man, Christ Jesus. Who seated him at his right hand, exalted him above all exaltation? God did. And he's our forerunner and our sacrifice. So I say with the Apostle Paul, if God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not freely with him give us all things? Huh? That's assurance. And that's what that dear woman said to her frightened husband when he stood in the presence of the appearance, power of God. He said, "We're going to die." She said, "We're going to die." She said, "No, we're not. If he's going to kill us, he would not have accepted the sacrifice. But secondly, she said, I'll tell you something else too. If he was going to kill us, he wouldn't have showed us all these things. What did he show them? He showed them that he appeared to them three times. Really? You say, no, twice, three times. He appeared to her first time, told she's going to have a son. And then he appeared to both of them together and went up in their sacrifice. And then the third time, in verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. He appeared in the fulfillment of the promise. He's one set the son. Yes, he did. Three times. He came and announced it. He came and approved it. He came and blessed them with the son. Blessed them with the fulfillment. You've got to turn to this one with me in Hebrews. Talk about assurance. This is our assurance. Hebrews 9. Look at this. I think of the appearances that he made to Manoah and his wife there, and then I want to show you three appearances for us. Hebrews chapter 9. It says here in verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself as high priest, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin with the sacrifice of himself. He appeared in heaven for us. Our surety, our covenant head from the foundation of the world. He appeared on this earth and put away sin on the cross for the sacrifice of himself. Now look at the next verses. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ, who was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him, he'll appear the second time without sin. You're going to see him. He appeared in heaven on our behalf. He appeared on earth on the cross on our behalf. He'll appear again. And when he does, he'll receive us unto himself. Oh, he's not going to destroy us. He's not going to destroy us. And here's the third thing she said, and I'll close. This is so a woman's faith. She said, if verse 23, if he were going to kill us, he wouldn't have received the offering at our hands. Secondly, he wouldn't have showed us all these things. And thirdly, he wouldn't have told us. He wouldn't have told us that we were going to have a son. God doesn't lie. God's not a man that he should lie. He told Abraham about his seed. He said, in thy seed all the earth shall be blessed. People of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue. He told Moses about the prophet that would come. He told David about the king priest that would sit on his throne. He told Isaiah about the substitute that would bear our sins in his body on the tree. He told Joseph, call his name Jesus, he'll save his people from their sin. He told his disciples, he said, you believe in God? You believe me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. Yeah, she said, he said, we're going to die. She said, no, we're not. No, we're not. Says if he was going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted a sacrifice. He wouldn't have showed us these things. And he wouldn't have told us. He wouldn't have promised us a son. That's faith.